Baseball America Hot Cheat Show. We're back. Ben Badler, Carlos Collazo. I'm Jacob Rudner. Got a loaded show today. WBC, spring breakouts, and college baseball all fully underway. Before we talk about any of those things, we got to talk prospect profiles. We're dropping one every weekday over on the Baseball America YouTube channel between now and opening day, going over the top prospect in every system. Currently, we're focused on the NL East. Giants prospect Bryce Eldridge dropped yesterday. Next one comes out at 3:30 Eastern time. With that being said, let's talk some WBC. All of our World Baseball Classic coverage is brought to you by our friends at Fox One. You can stream all your Fox favorites together in one place, including the WBC final tonight, and after that, the best MLB action all season long. Carlos, a fun game in store for us tonight. United States versus Venezuela for the crown. It's been a great WBC. What are some of your thoughts going into this one specifically? Nolan McLean getting the start. Is he ready for the moment against a really good Venezuela club?
Yeah, it has been a tremendous tournament. I think the excitement that all of these nations have had for their teams has kind of rubbed off on me. So I can't wait to see what happens. I think it's been fun to see maybe a team that got a little bit slept on entering this. I won't say Venezuela is some huge underdog here. We did rank them as the number four team in our power rankings entering this tournament, and we obviously are aware of the talent on the team. But it did feel like it was kind of a Team USA or Japan or DR sort of question heading into this. And so Team Venezuela getting a chance to maybe surprise everyone and just have one of the biggest moments for that nation in terms of baseball is going to be really fun. And in terms of Nolan McLean, I think this is a tremendous platform for him to show baseball fans just how talented he really is. I mean, a number of people who are already plugged in have seen what he can do. But the way he's been able to transform himself as a baseball prospect over the last few years, I think is just an incredible story. Going back to when he was a college prospect at Oklahoma State, he was not one of the top 50 players in his draft class. He was a third round pick. He was a hitter at the time. I'm not sure if people remember how much he was excited about hitting at the time, but he was this big two-way player with a ton of power, a lot of swing and miss. And I remember just seeing him on the mound, showing just flashes of the pitcher that he maybe had a chance to become. I never thought he would be the pitching prospect that he is today. We have him as the top-ranked pitching prospect in all of baseball. He has a collection of pitches that is just really hard to fathom how one pitcher has the sort of fastball he has, maybe the best sweeper in the game among pitching prospects. He's got a curveball and a slider that are also plus pitches. He's got an above-average changeup, and he ties it all together with really solid control. And so the strides he's been able to make as a pitching prospect after setting down the bat, focusing on pitching full-time, I think Mets fans are very aware of the fact that they have a really exciting pitcher to throw into the middle of the rotation, maybe a number two, maybe a number one sort of upside arm here. I think he is ready for this challenge. And in terms of stuff and talent, all of that is there. It's a very talented lineup. Maybe he wants to redeem himself from some outings in the past in recent days and weeks. But no, I can't wait to see what McLean can do against Team Venezuela.
Yeah, I think he does ultimately have the upside to be that front end of the rotation starting pitcher for the Mets. It's just a really unusual combination of power and ability to manipulate the ball with his secondary pitches. I think he's going to be a strong Rookie of the Year candidate this year. He's super talented, but also when you're facing a team that has Willy Abreu and William Contreras and Jackson Chourio hitting at the bottom of your lineup, you're probably not going to come away unscathed. So I don't expect him to come out and dominate tonight, but he certainly has the capacity to do it. I just think this Venezuelan lineup is too good. I think they're going to score at least a few runs against him.
Carlos, you mentioned the potential on a guy like Nolan McLean. How instructive can a game like the WBC be? Is it still kind of spring training-ish to you, or can we extract some value out of this?
It feels like more than spring training to me. You know, I feel like spring training can be a little bit sleepy. Sometimes guys are kind of going through the motions, just trying to get into form for the season. Maybe they're working on some things in a way that you wouldn't in a game that matters. You're throwing pitches in scenarios there where you wouldn't typically. But I think all these teams and all these players are really bought in on trying to win this thing. And so it's going to be a sense of urgency that is different from spring training. In terms of what that tells us about Nolan McLean. I wouldn't want to take one game and maybe make too much about it, whether he does extremely well or does poorly. As Ben said, this is a really talented lineup. Guys like Ronald Acuna Jr., Luis Arraez, Michael Garcia have been tremendous for this Venezuela lineup. Those are legitimate hitters. Maybe for Nolan McLean, it's just a way for him to get that feeling of major league competition outside of major league games. Maybe there is some value in learning how to tackle a lineup like this in a game that does matter. I think the sense of urgency that you're going to have in this game makes it just a little bit different from what you would get in any kind of spring training game. The degree to whether that can tell us something informative from McLean, I think might be overstated, but I'm mostly just excited to see like how the stuff is looking for him, how he navigates this lineup. And as Ben said, how deep he can get into this lineup. So I'm curious if you guys think there will be more to take away from that, but just the environment will be certainly more unique than a typical spring training outing.
Well, that's certainly interesting. It's kind of where I stand too. You get a guy in front of a really good team in a really big environment, and maybe we can learn something more than we would in spring training. I would say also that we've learned about some other recent young BA stars, a couple of guys who have graced the cover of the Baseball America magazine. Gunnar Henderson and Roman Anthony both have two home runs so far in the WBC. They have performed on a massive stage. Ben, how impressed have you been with them? And I guess kind of similar to what we just talked about with Carlos, how much can we learn from the performances of these two guys in this setting?
Yeah, I mean, you look up and down the USA roster, whether it's, you know, Paul Skeens or Alex Bregman, obviously a high draft pick, Bobby Witt Jr., guys who were super prominent prospects. Obviously, not everybody. Cal Raleigh was not a super highly regarded prospect. He's one of the best players in baseball right now. But yeah, I think it's cool to see the performances that Gunnar Henderson and Roman Anthony in particular have been able to produce, both in their time in the big leagues and here on the WBC stage, especially Roman Anthony, right? Like, all right, everybody I think knows about Gunnar Henderson and how he's one of the best players in baseball. And I think everybody listening to this realizes how good Roman Anthony is, but also 4 years ago, this guy was playing high school baseball, right? So now he's one of the best young stars in the game. I don't know that anything that we're seeing in the WBC is going to change my mind, but also my opinion that both of these players was extremely high coming in. But it's cool to have these guys get to a national or really an international stage to do it on.
What I think is interesting about these two in particular, maybe Roman Anthony especially, it kind of ties back into my comments about Nolan McLean, but just how quickly players at this age can change and develop. I remember watching Roman Anthony during his senior summer, the summer leading into his senior year when he was a draft prospect. I mean, the hitter that he was then is so monumentally different to the hitter he is now. He was this big boom or bust sort of offensive player with a ton of swing and miss in his game, a lot of obvious physical tools that kind of spoke to the upside potential that he had. But that spring in high school, his senior year, he started to make some adjustments with his contact ability and his approach. I got to see him at NHSI, and it was very clearly a different approach than he showed throughout the summer, just with the amount of contact that he was making, kind of trying to use the entire field. And then he gets into pro ball, and he's another one of these players that just seems to put everything together, make impressive adjustments with the swing. I think the Red Sox need to get a lot of credit here with what they've been able to do with their prospects in recent years, and hitters in particular. They've done a really nice job with swing changes and just helping players make the most of their upside potential. And so seeing him become one of the best prospects in the game and start to really fit in with the stars of Major League Baseball in a way that you kind of look at him and he just is another one of those players that fits right alongside the Bobby Witt Juniors of the world and the Aaron Judges of the world. I think it's kind of crazy to me how rapid player development seems to be these days. I know JJ has written a lot recently over at baseballamerica.com on just like the trajectory of players in the minor leagues. It's faster than it's ever been. And so I think just watching these transformations of players go from solid or maybe underrated prospects in high school and college to the stars in Major League Baseball. It's really fun to see. We'll have another opportunity to see them do star type things tonight. So I can't wait.
All right. I got to put you guys on the spot here. Who's going to win this game tonight? Venezuela going for its first gold ever in WBC history. It does have a third place finish. The U.S. has won before, looking for its second. Carlos, I'll start with you.
I feel like it's hard to pick against Team USA in this scenario. I feel like they were the favorite entering. They seem to be in a good spot to win. I feel like pitching depth, it's going to be on their side in general. I prefer their matchup on the mound, even though Nolan McLean maybe hasn't fully proven himself yet. I buy into the talent fully. I think this lineup can explode at any point in time. I think defensively, some of the plays we've been able to see players like Bobby Witt Jr. making just to keep them competitive and in the game. Their middle infield is one of the most exciting defensive pairings you could ask for, I think, at this stage. And then you've got a deep bench as well. So no matter who's getting the start at third base, I know the Gunnar Henderson versus Alex Bregman conversation has been maybe a bit interesting online as we lead up to this. You're going to have options for later in the game if you need to pinch hit in certain situations. So I don't think I'm going out on an edge here in taking Team USA. It's not a huge shock. So I'll side with Team USA and say they get it done here.
The prediction I am confident in is I think the Venezuelan fans will break the decibel level record at the stadium. But I do think even though it'll feel like a home game for Venezuela, USA's got an extra day of rest for their bullpen. I think that helps. And just the lineup, obviously, is super talented. I'm going to go with the USA in this one.
I am. I'll be the dissenting opinion. I'm going to go with Venezuela.
You need that.
WBC. I think that the just the atmosphere that Ben just mentioned is going to be the thing that ultimately gets it done for Team Venezuela. If you love international competition, though, let me tell you, from the WBC through the World Series to the World Cup to NASCAR and IndyCar, with Fox One, you get it all live. Start your 7-day free trial today. Offers are subject to change. Download Fox One today and stream the World Baseball Classic live now. Go to foxone.com for complete terms and conditions. Fox One, streaming now. All right, annual spring breakout is almost here. It starts on March 19th, runs through the 22nd. We do have initial rosters for the spring breakout series. It's loaded with top 100 prospects. Only 9 of the top 100 prospects are not included on initial breakout rosters. Ben, we'll start with you here. Who are some of the guys who you're going to be keeping a close eye on just from this initial pool of players? I know we don't know who specifically is going to play yet, but who catches your eye right now?
Yeah, I think probably for a lot of fans, they're looking forward to seeing the guys who can make an impact on the big league team as soon as this year. I kind of go the opposite direction where, you know, the guys who've been in Double A and Triple A, we've already seen a lot of them throughout the minor leagues. I really want to see the guys who we haven't seen much of yet, right? So obviously that means a lot of the 2025 draft picks from a year ago. So I want to see Seth Hernandez, who we haven't seen his professional debut yet. I want to see him on the mound for the Pirates, right? First round pick, best pitcher in the draft. You could argue he was just the best player, period, in the draft last year if you were that high on him. Guys like Ethan Holliday, shortstop with the Rockies, Billy Carlson, shortstop with the White Sox. I want to see those guys out there. And then on the mound, especially the college arms who, I mean, yeah, we've seen a lot of these guys in college, but Kate Anderson, lefty with the Mariners, Tyler Bremner, right-handed pitcher with the Angels. Two guys who I think have a chance to move extremely quickly, you know, like a best-case scenario. Maybe not in Bremner's case because I don't know if the Angels are going to be in a competitive position this year, but maybe Kate Anderson ends up following the path of a Trey Savage last year. I think he's that talented of a pitcher. So the guys who are farther away, even though, hey, again, Kate Anderson, I would not be surprised if we did see him in the big leagues by the end of the year too.
Yeah, and for me, I think I'm probably right in line with Ben here. At first, I thought he was going to point to some of these like near proximity prospects who we're going to see in the big leagues. But I also tend to get really excited about the guys we just know less about in pro ball. And after this conversation we've had today talking about guys like Roman Anthony and Gunnar Henderson, two players in particular I'm excited to see more of are Ethan Holliday and Xavier Nyans. I think those two players fit the sort of huge power upside hit tool questions profile that we've been discussing here. And with Ethan Holliday, we got a sense of some of those questions that he did show in his pro debut last summer. It was not a very long pro debut. I still think for high school players, there's not really a natural level for those players to sign and go to right away. And so it can be a challenge. And I'm curious to see what sort of adjustments, if any, Ethan Holliday has made, if he's just going to look more like the player we saw really throughout his entire high school career that led him to being the top overall prospect in his class. I think Xavier Nyans is a player who, if you've been following the draft very closely, you've heard a lot about. Like, he has a similar profile to a player like Ethan Holliday. I don't know that he's all that far off in terms of the upside that he can provide. Both are players who have played shortstop in the past. Maybe they're likely to play third base. So just getting a bit more evidence on where they're going to play defensively, how they're looking, what the contact is looking like. Because both these players have just monumental power upside. I think even comparing them to their college peers from last year's draft, their power upside was exciting as anyone in that class. Those two are definitely the players that I'm excited to see. And then I do hate that Ben brought up Seth Hernandez instead of me as the resident Seth Hernandez lover. He mentioned that Seth Hernandez has a case as the top overall prospect from last year's class. I would endorse that fully. I think this is another Pirates pitching prospect who has a chance to be a legitimate front of the rotation sort of arm. We've got to see a little bit of video from him in spring training already. He's just a physical, athletic monster on the mound. He gets up to 100 miles per hour. He's got an elite 70 grade changeup that I think is one of the best changeups I've seen from an amateur pitcher. Oh, and he's got two solid breaking balls as well that he can throw at you. So those are kind of the three most exciting players that I'm looking forward to seeing in these games, if they do in fact play once we get the final rosters.
Los, you mentioned a couple of guys there. Ben, you did too, who were just drafted, 2025 draft picks. And I like this question that we just got from Ben Fullenkamp's 5750. Who will be the first 2025 draft pick to make his big league debut? I've got some thoughts on this, but I'll throw it to you, Ben, first. Who do you think is the first to get to the show from this most recent draft class?
Most likely, I think it'll be one of the college pitchers that we saw drafted in the first round last year. There wasn't like a college hitter who has a lot of the polish that you typically see to associate with a fast mover, but somebody like Cade Anderson, right, with the Mariners, but should be competitive this year. The other one would be Jamie Arnold, a left-handed pitcher who the A's drafted this year. I mean, the A's have a really good young lineup this year. They need pitching. Jamie Arnold's not their only good young pitcher in the system. I think Gage Jump is ahead of him in the pecking order, but they need pitching, and Jamie Arnold is really good. He's really polished. Plus slider, good fastball, he'll flash you, plus changeup too. I could see him being a guy who could fly through the system potentially.
Yeah, I think Ben is right. There's not an obvious college hitter this year like we've had in the past. Guys like J.J. Weatherholt, Nick Kurtz, Jack Caglione from that 2024 group were very polished and very ready. And I think that group of polished and quick-moving players is the college pitching demographic. I feel like the obvious name to go with here is Tyler Bremner, because he fits that model as one of the more advanced prospects in the class. He has the college experience, and he was also drafted by the Angels, which maybe is just the easiest way to get to a direct answer. It's who did the Angels take with their first overall pick? In general, that can be a pretty good bet for you for if you're looking for just players who are going to race through the minors, because that has been their MO in recent years. It feels like everyone that they've taken, they have pushed extremely aggressively. Sometimes I think it's been maybe a little bit much, but I also just do think Tyler Bremner fits the mold of a player who can move quickly. He fits in with talent and with command that guys like Cade Anderson and Jamie Arnold, who you mentioned, Ben. And I don't even know that that's the extent of this college pitching group that could move quickly. There are other names you could probably pick out if you wanted to, but Bremner for me would be an obvious answer.
I'll put Liam Doyle into the mix for the exact same reasons. I mean, we're talking about college guys with proven stuff and results. He's one of them. He's one of the best pitchers in college baseball last year, nearly led the nation in strikeouts. He's got a huge power fastball, which we know will play well. Guys who you don't have to teach how to throw a fastball is a big deal. And Liam Doyle is one of those guys. The thing for me, and we've actually talked about this quite a bit recently at BA, pitchers who learn how to compete in college really do have a leg up, because I think that the competitiveness that some of these guys bring to the table ends up being to their great benefit. And Liam Doyle maybe leads the nation in that category, just in the fiery competitiveness department. Kind of a maniac is the best way to describe him. He was crazy when he was on the mound last year. And I think that level of want to is going to be a big deal for him early in his professional career. It brings me to this. Liam Doyle was one of my picks to break out this year as far as pro players go. And I'm curious for you guys, who are some other names that stand out to you as people who are in for a big year? Carlos, let's start with you.
Yeah, I'll stick with the pitchers first. I mean, this is maybe not the craziest pick in the world, but for people who aren't following prospects, maybe a little bit more useful. But I just think Bubba Chandler, we mentioned Nolan McClain at the beginning of the show as one of the better pitching prospects in baseball. I think Bubba Chandler legitimately has a case as the top pitching prospect in the game at the moment. His combination of fastball, power, athleticism, command and control when he's right, quality secondaries. I mean, he's shown pluses across the board. And when he is locked in and competing at a high level, he just looked like one of the best pitching prospects that we've seen in recent years. I think he could be a tremendous complement to Paul Skenes in that rotation as a lethal young 1-2. The first half of his season in 2025 was just tremendous. And I do think that if he's going to be pushed aggressively, and I think he's major league ready now, I would like to see him on the big league team as soon as possible to just let him go compete. I think he's got a chance to be one of the best young players in the game this year. I have another hitter in my pocket as well, but I can throw it over to Ben for maybe his first pick here.
Yeah, for pitchers this year, the guy I'm looking to take a big leap forward is Jacob Mizorowski with the Brewers. We saw it in flashes last year, and then it kind of went up and down. He finished the year with a 4.36 ERA, but I think this is the season where now he takes his game to a new level, turns into a frontline starter for the Brewers, right? Like, he's 6'7". He's such a long-limbed, elastic pitcher. And a lot of times with guys who are that tall and that long, lanky, the long levers, it takes time for them to sync everything up, throw enough strikes. And I think with another year of experience under his belt, I think that's going to come for him, right? I think we've all seen the stuff. There's no question about how good his stuff is. This year, I think he does a better job of repeating his delivery, throwing more strikes, and taking advantage of what I think is some of the best raw stuff in the game anywhere.
I'll throw out one more deeper one for everybody here. Chase Shores, the LSU 6'8" righty who was picked by the Angels in the second round. Hard throwers move fast, especially with the Angels. I like what Carlos said about Tyler Bremner. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to hit our final sprint here.
This one's for the dudes looking for peak bedroom performance.
Blue Chew is the number one chewable ED brand, and they just dropped their newest innovation. It is called Blue Chew Gold.
Blue Chew Gold dissolves under your tongue and works in as little as 15 minutes. Peak passion and peak performance in a single tablet.
That's right. Two ingredients for blood flow mixed with apomorphine and oxytocin to turn up the arousal and connection in your brain and body. This is the future of performance. Faster, smarter, and precision engineered for results. See why millions of men trust Blue Chew. Now with a gold standard upgrade that's changing the game for good. Make life easier and discover your options at BlueChew.com. And we've got a special deal for our FT listeners. Get 10% off your first month of Blue Chew Gold with code FOUL. That's promo code FOUL. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
All right, time to talk college baseball. Couldn't let you get to the show without doing it. What a week on the college baseball front. Usually the first week of conference play is always a little bit weird. It's usually when we see some really big movement. But this was kind of a semi, I don't want to call it historic, but it was a more rare week. The top 25 did not perform well. 630 win percentage. It's about 70 points down from last year. We had four new teams jump into the top 25. That's the first time that four or more have become ranked in a week since week 12 of the 2024 season. And one of the teams that made room for four new teams was the reigning national champion, LSU, out of the top 25 for the first time since 2024. Arkansas State among the teams that move in. Arkansas State a first time newcomer to the poll. Arkansas State has never been ranked at Baseball America before. Carlos, how concerning is this LSU start to the season? They're 3-6 over their last nine, and it has just been hard baseball to watch. But we also know this team is talented. What's the concern level for you?
Yeah, it is concerning. I came into this year thinking they were maybe the most talented team in the country. And so the fact that they have not performed like a top 25 team in the country is very concerning. I went into this week kind of expecting that LSU would be in the back of the top 25. I think personally, I expect them to maybe be getting back in the fold here in the near future. But if you're looking at resumes and what teams have done and the fact that it's a top 25, is about performance. They just don't warrant a spot right now, which is really crazy to think about, especially if you go back to our preseason expectations for this team. I think just offensively on the pitching side, this team is incredibly deep with talent. There are a lot of players who are going to be fixtures in the draft coming up, but you have to go take care of business on the field. And LSU has not done that to this point. Maybe at the end of the day, this will be kind of a good thing for this LSU program, a team that has won a lot in recent years and just needs a little bit of a wake-up call. I'm not sure. I don't really want to armchair psychologize this entire team, but I do believe in the talent. If they do turn things around and get right back into the mix and start pushing their way up the board, it won't surprise me. But now they've got to do it in the middle of conference play. Every weekend is going to be a challenge. They've got a lot ahead of them, and I guess I'm a lot more uncertain about this team than I expected to be. At this point, I'm curious for you, Jacob, if your faith in the team and maybe what they can do in the long run has been altered because of the start, or if you think it's maybe just early season growing pains that they're going to get through.
Yeah, this is kind of where the benefit of the doubt comes in, right? Like, you look at a team like LSU and the track record has been so good for so long, and you don't want to move off of them too aggressively. I think that the reason they're out of the top 25 for right now is because the performance just dictates that. You can't perform this poorly and expect to remain ranked. I still do view them as a top 10 team by talent, though, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them climb back in or even to host. I want to hit on one more thing here, another good question from, or just a comment from Ben Fullenkamps. He said, Florida State put the ACC on notice. We don't pick teams of the week at Baseball America, but if we did, Florida State would definitely be at or towards the top of that list. Trey Beard and Wes Mendez were outstanding. Both of them made our team of the week. Trey Beard in particular struck out a career-high 14 batters, took a no-hitter into the sixth inning. This is a really good team. They swept Wake Forest and are now ranked 10th in the country. Hard to get better than that. And we got a lot of it at Baseball America right now. So head on over to baseballamerica.com. If you want all of our coverage, whether it's on WBC, spring breakouts, or college baseball, we've got tons of it. The draft. How can I not mention the draft with Carlos here? There's so much coverage at Baseball America. Also remember to like and share this video and subscribe to Baseball America on YouTube, where you can find lots more of our coverage in addition to the Baseball America website. For Ben Badler, Carlos Collazo, I'm Jacob Rudner. Thanks for joining us on Hot Sheet. We'll see you next week.